Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust over 40 years of experience providing innovative pension solutions. Zurich Corporate Pensions. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Thank you very much indeed for that, Orla. Now, a sixth round of sanctions to halt the Kremlin war machine have been agreed this afternoon by EU leaders. While agreement was reached, compromises had to be made to get a deal on a ban on Russian oil over the line. Hungary's Viktor Orban has described the outcome as a victory report from Brussels, because oil transported through the critical Friendship pipeline will be exempt from the ban. I'm joined now by Minister Thomas Byrne, Minister of State for European Affairs, who attended the negotiations in Brussels. Minister, you're very welcome to the programme. An awful lot of people in the country will welcome this, but will heed the warning from Taoiseach as well about consequent rising energy prices, which will happen in the near future. But let's talk about the EU sanctions first of all. There are exemptions. It's not as widespread, the sanctions, as had been intended initially. Is it something the Irish government is happy to stand over?
Well, look, the Irish government wanted the widest possible sanctions, so we would have supported it going much further. The truth is that every country there at the European Council has a veto, and you have to work with that. And every country has particular interests. So we were certainly pushing for the widest possible. It's true that Hungary, Slovakia, Czechia particularly, had big issues with this, because basically all of their oil comes from Russia. And it's not just that their oil comes from Russia, but that their oil refineries are specifically designed to deal with the particular oil that comes from Russia. So they would need not only to change their oil supply, which was a big job for all of us, but also they would need to change refineries. So look, there's a lot of good from this. There's a huge amount of sanctions have been put in place. Lots of stuff that people said couldn't be done has been done.
But has been done, and it will be implemented in a phased basis. Isn't that right? So to spell this out for people, this is a 90% reduction on seaborne imported oil. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Not through
the
pipelines. But it'll be phased in. So when will it actually be fully implemented, this sanction?
I mean, it's my understanding it'll be by the end of the year. But, I mean, there's a lot of work has to happen to make sure we've alternative supplies. Now, we in Ireland are not directly impacted by Russian oil. We don't get it, but the people now who were impacted on Russian oil are now going to have to go to the market to find other sources, so it's going to have effects on all of us. And we've always been clear with these sanctions as well that they must have a much more negative effect on Russia than on us, and not on us really, because that goes against the whole point of them. So there's a huge balancing act here.
We'll discuss that in a second, but I don't know if it is to be implemented by the end of the year, because that the phase-in period is for 6 months for crude oil, 8 months for refined products. That's what the European Commission is saying. So it's effectively next year.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, the end of the year for a large part of it. And there are difficulties with refineries, because you have to build another refinery. I didn't know this, but particular oil sources need particular refineries, or there's particular ways of dealing with them and machinery to deal with them. So that is a practical difficulty. And we've got to keep our eye on the prize here, which is to make sure that we can put as much pressure on Russia as possible.
But
that's
how
why
much
we're
pressure
here.
Is this putting on Russia at all?
And well, I think the only thing Russia has going for them is what's coming out of the ground. And oil is a big part of that.
But I mean, that's a great war phrase. But can we quantify
true,
that? Can we because this is hurting an awful lot of people here too. And you know that, I know, because the Taoiseach has spoken about it. And he's warning people very upfront. He's saying there will be a consequent increase in energy prices. Now, you don't need me to tell you that people are struggling to pay bills already. So if people want to be reassured that this is really hurting the Kremlin.
Yeah.
So quantify it, please.
The carbon price. I'm not going to quantify it, because nobody can predict the markets, and predictions have been way off in the past. But the truth is, it's because of the war, but also because of what's happening with the climate. And that leads us then to the conclusion that we need alternatives to all of this carbon. And part of that is what we can supply, which is wind. And one of the important points out of today's
Can I stop you before you go down
summit,
the wind
make
route?
It miss is that
can I stop you before you go down
the
wind?
There's a very important point of that.
No, I absolutely accept that. But for this to be worth it for Irish people who will have to choose between heating and eating coming this autumn and winter, that's the choice that an awful lot of people are making. And they will want you to quantify the pain that this is putting on Putin and Russia. They will want you to quantify because they want to be sure that it's worth it for them.
What I'm telling you is that the main part of the Russian economy is what comes out of the ground. So this has a direct impact on what's driving their economy. Also today, what was sanctioned as well is their main bank, the last of the Russian main banks, was sanctioned today. That's going to have a devastating effect on the Russian economy. And we have to do this because there's a country which has been terrorized by Russia at the moment. And if we let them away with that here, they would be coming after other countries at some particular point. And that's the space we're in at the moment. It's unprecedented. It's not where we want to be. And I think we have to defend democracy. But we have to get away from it.
That's without question. And to apply as much pressure on Putin to stop the war, that's everybody's behind that. But we want to be sure that this is actually having that effect. But here, in this round of sanctions, you're not touching Russian gas at all. You're not touching pipeline gas, oil at all. And this is happening in a phased basis. So what will happen actually is the price of oil will go up in the short term. So Russia laughs. And they also have time to find other buyers. Isn't that correct?
Well, actually, Russia is selling some of its oil at cheaper prices if they can get rid of it. So there's unpredictable effects on the market. This is, again, and we've got to be careful of this. We have to do this on a phased basis, by the way. You simply can't turn off the tap today. But there's a lot of work going on, and has been going on, quite literally, scouring the planet for alternative sources of energy. And that's what part of the conclusions are. So that's alternative oil, not just wind, alternative gas, etc. There's pipelines being built or proposed being built at rapid pace to ensure that we have supplies of energy. And that's what we need, because fundamentally we can talk about price caps, we can talk about supports to consumers, we all support all those sort of things, but what actually deals with this is the supply. Where can we get supplies? So at the moment people are working really, really hard to find alternative supplies to get us away from that Russian thing, apart from then the general move to renewables, which is obviously a very important part
but
of
it. I wonder, on today, and I accept that. Sorry to cut across you, but I just wonder when I look at various people speaking about this, European Commission are delighted with themselves because I just wonder, are they happy to be seen to be doing something, or is it actually effective in applying the type of pressure that Europe wants on
look,
Putin,
I think I,
when you,
yeah,
which you, I, you have admitted you can't quantify. But then I look
well, I
at...
Well, I can't quantify, but I can give you the assessment, and speaking to the Taoiseach, his view of the assessment of the leaders who are right beside Russia, right beside Ukraine, is that these sanctions are having a devastating effect on the Russian economy. That's the assessment of, I won't name the countries, but countries on the eastern flank of the European Union. And that's why they're really, really supportive of them. They feel that they are working and that this will have a big impact on the Russian economy.
Well,
let me bring you a
reaction from Ukraine itself then. Because here is what an advisor to the Ukrainian president said about these sanctions. Russia must not win, but we won't give heavy weapons. It may offend the Russian Federation. Putin must lose, but let's not impose new sanctions. Millions will starve, but we're not ready for military convoys with grain. Rising prices are not the worst that awaits a democratic world with such a policy, he says.
Look, we absolutely in Ireland support a maximal approach to sanctions that the Ukrainians are supporting. We supported that. Not every member state does. The three particular countries are badly affected. They didn't support the maximalist approach. Now, I'd love to be there saying, right, Ukraine got everything that it wanted. It wasn't possible. But what we've got is a huge package of sanctions that, quite frankly, you know, most people wouldn't have believed were possible before Christmas. But you're right as well. There are consequences for ordinary citizens in Europe now as well in terms of prices. Now, fundamentally, the cause of that is Putin. The cause of the food shortages around the world is Putin as well. And the cause of food price inflation is Putin too. So we've got to keep our eyes focused on that. And I have no doubt that Ukraine would like a lot more. So would we. And that's the position of the Irish government consistently over the last number of months.
Yeah, and that's the position taken this round of sanctions as well. But it will shoot up energy prices without question. We have the warning from the Taoiseach. We have the record inflation of 8.2%. Irish inflation, the highest, I think, since data. We started keeping data on this stuff since 1997. How are you going to help struggling homeowners then?
Well, the first point is we've got to make sure that we can get supply from outside Russia, because this is what's driving it all. I mean, the energy supplies, direct energy bills, but also fertilizers into food supply, all of that. We've got to move away from Russia as best we can. And there's huge work underway at European level to do just that. And that's a very important part of this. And the government is looking at a you know, in terms of what we're doing here in Ireland, we've already given out among the most per head in terms of direct supports to citizens who are being, you know, these bills are just so high. So the government has done a huge amount, much more than most of the countries. What we're looking for now towards the budget is a comprehensive approach involving the social partners. You're talking, I suppose, wages, you're talking tax, you're talking social welfare support. So there's a lot of work going on, but the Taoiseach wants to make sure that that's done in a comprehensive way, that we can bring the economy with us and give the best possible benefit to citizens and consumers.
What about what Sinn Féin is proposing, a couple of hundred euro in terms of a cost of living payment?
Well, we've already done that in terms of we've given direct support to people on fuel allowance, we've given direct support to every person with an energy bill, we've reduced VAT already. We've given so much more than even Britain, where very large numbers were announced.
It's obviously not enough.
On a per capita basis. But look, whatever we propose will never be enough for Sinn Féin. They will always.
Well, for the householders,
we've given more. Well, in fact, we've already given more than they previously proposed. So it's like an auction. What we want to make sure is that it's not an auction, that it's targeted, that it's done in a way that protects the economy, protects jobs, and protects people. It's very easy to say, here's 200 quid. Oh no, I'll give you 300 quid, etc., etc. That's not going to work. There's a lot of aspects to this. We've already given those direct financial supports. We have not been slow in giving money to citizens to help with those bills. But there are also much more fundamental questions that aren't just as easy to answer, that have to be answered, and certainly in time for the budget. They've been done at European level and they've been done at national level
too
as well.
Too slow, though. Too slow for people who can't heat the house come winter.
I don't accept that, because we acted much more quickly than, say, Britain, which reacted last week after the Partygate scandal in terms of energy bills. So we've been very much on the ball on this. And yes, of course, it's right for the opposition to keep the pressure on. But I think by any standards, by any measure of comparison with our European neighbours, we've given significant support to Irish people who are impacted by this. And just on the wind, one of the points from today is that we're going to need faster permissions for some of these, particularly offshore wind farms. So that brings other questions. But it is a fact that we do need to move much more quickly on wind. And that's okay. An aspect of this that I think we'll have a lot of discussion later in the year.
Can I ask you finally about another topic altogether? I know you go in and out through Dublin Airport an awful lot with, it's just a perk or a hazard of your job, whichever way you look at it. Were you embarrassed by the scenes last weekend in Dublin Airport?
I mean, of course it's very embarrassing. Now, it has been played out in other airports in Britain and in Holland and other places, but Paris, I've seen worse, quite frankly, at times. But that's not it. We shouldn't have to suffer through it here. It is ridiculous. I mean, it seems to me that looking at various airports, that the bags in Dublin Airport definitely go through more slowly. If that's simply just, even with the lanes that are open, if that's just simply a factor of more staff, then we need staff. DAA have a job to do. They have a lot of international experience in DAA. There's a lot of international comparisons. Vienna Airport has similar passenger numbers, as far as I can see, and I don't see delays there. It's there's something wrong here. Fundamentally,
do you have confidence in the DA that they have a plan in that they will come up with a plan, so it won't repeat this weekend?
I'm not going to go into the question of confidence. But they haven't produced a plan yet.
You're talking about the expertise they have.
They haven't produced a plan yet, and they need to produce that. They need to show the government and the Irish public what the plan is, and we haven't seen it. I thought we would have seen it by now. We haven't seen it yet. And in the meantime, there's huge frustration. There is no doubt it is damaging to visitors. And I've heard this today from constituents who are connected with tourism in County Meath. They've heard it directly from American tourists in terms of car hire, in terms of the airport. These are things, particularly on the airport, the DAA has a job to do, and they have to do that job, and they have to realise that the job they're doing has national consequences and reputational consequences for Ireland.
Okay, Minister of State for European Affairs, Thomas Byrne of Fianna Fáil, thank you very much indeed.